You are the light of the world. This is what Jesus says to his disciples in today's gospel, which means this is what he says to us this afternoon. You are the light of the world. We are to understand that we, not just other people, not just people in far-off places or long past times, or not just the nuns and the priests, and not just, you know, famous people, not Mother Teresa and Padre Pio, not just world leaders and newsmakers and people we see on social media, but we, including the children, including the vendors, including the drivers, including the person sitting next to you, and you too, are the light of the world. Us? We should be asking, us? Me? We should realize right away, this is a very strange thing to say. Especially coming from the one who is the light of the world, Jesus Christ. It's a very strange thing to say. Now, perhaps it doesn't surprise us because this passage comes immediately after the gospel we heard last Sunday, Jesus' proclamation of the Beatitudes, which are also very strange things to say. You remember, blessed are the poor in spirit, blessed are those who mourn, and the meek, and the merciful, and the persecuted, etc. So Jesus, in the Sermon on the Mount, is clearly talking to us in a way that takes us beyond our usual way of thinking. Way beyond our usual way of thinking. We don't usually think of ourselves as light. But this is what he says. So what does he mean when he tells us that we are the light of the world? Let's start with something that should be obvious to us. We do not generate light ourselves. We are not the source of the light that we have for the world. We receive light first, and then we shine that light that we have on the world. So where does light come from? It comes from God. Very basic. The Bible tells us God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. We are utterly dependent on God. Without God, we are in darkness. We are darkness. Jesus Christ is the one who makes the light of God shine on us, shine in us, shine through us. Jesus says in John's Gospel, I am the light of the world. We just read that together in the Alleluia verse. I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. So this must be clear to us before we can say anything more. We have light because we follow the light. Our identity depends on his identity. Because he is light and we belong to him, that's why we too are light. So that's the first thing. Now, what does it mean to be light? Of course, we're using the idea of physical light as a symbol. Light here represents truth and goodness. Truth and goodness. In other words, what Jesus expects the world to receive from us is truth and goodness. Now listen to how he explains this in the gospel today. He says, your light must shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your heavenly Father. You see, he says it's our good deeds that are meant to be seen by others. Goodness. Not so that we can show off, not so that we can impress others. That might happen, but usually it doesn't. That's not the point anyway. The effect of seeing our good deeds is that people will glorify our Heavenly Father. If we're doing this right, if we're really living as Christians, people who see us and who see our good deeds will be drawn to God. All glory be to God. That's how it's supposed to work. Next, Jesus says this light is for the world. And this is important for us to reflect on. It's not simply for ourselves. The light of truth and goodness is for us also, of course. That light is given to us for our own edification and instruction and inspiration and consolation, yes. If we're not letting the light shine on our own lives, well then, that's where we have to start. Live in the light of Christ. Go to confession. Come up out of the darkness. Don't let sin reign. Leave it behind. So that's where we start, yes. But there's more to it than that, because light is supposed to shine. It's supposed to spread. It's supposed to illuminate everyone and everything. It's supposed to enlighten people. So Jesus says, don't put the light under a bushel basket. Don't hide it. Don't cover it. Don't be embarrassed by it. Don't be ashamed of it. Let it shine. We're wrong if we are keeping the light of truth and goodness to ourselves. If we lock it up in our own families or in our own private circle, or even if we keep it just here in the church. Jesus does not say you are the light of the church. He says you are the light of the world. We are responsible then to let this light, this truth, this goodness that we have received, shine publicly. Where? Yes, in our own lives, in our own homes, in our own families, but also in our workplaces, in our businesses, in our schools, in the government, in the media, our use of social media, in our use of money, in our recreation, everywhere, all the time. That's the nature of light. It's supposed to shine. It only doesn't shine when we hide it or put it under a bushel basket. Now, we know that these places I just mentioned, our schools, our neighborhoods, our communities, there's a lot of darkness there. There's a lot of darkness in the world. It's a dark valley, the world. There are people whose lives are dominated by darkness. Many people are either in the darkness of ignorance, meaning they just don't know the truth, they don't know what's good, or the darkness of sin, which is the result of evil choices that snare people and blind them. That's a darkness. Well, who's going to shine the light of Christ on them? That's our job, every one of us. And there are countless ways to make or to let light shine. Countless ways by living the gospel, countless ways of speaking the truth with love when we have that opportunity, countless ways to be generous, to be just, to be honest, to be patient, to be merciful, to be pure. In fact, the first reading from the prophet Isaiah tells us a number of things, a number of ways in which we let the light shine. Sharing our food with the hungry, sheltering those in need, caring for the afflicted. Wherever there are people in need, there is an opportunity for our light to shine. Meaning there's lots of places and lots of opportunities. By the good deeds we do for them, we let our light shine, and the people can give glory to our Heavenly Father. We don't have to make it more complicated than that. Good deeds. So the question for us is, well, what is the Lord asking me to do? What good deeds does He want me to do? Where and for whom does He want my light to shine? Let me add one last reflection about this theme of light being the light of the world. It may sound very wonderful to be called the light of the world, and it certainly is a wonderful mission to be an instrument of God's truth and goodness for others, yes. And we might assume that because Christ has come and has won a complete victory over darkness, and because He has shared this victory with us, that we can enjoy this mission of being light for the world. But it's not always that easy. It doesn't always work like that. The sad truth is that light is not always welcome in the world. Light is not always welcome by the world. And messengers of light are often rejected, even persecuted, just as Jesus himself was. So we shouldn't assume that something's gone wrong if we get rejected or persecuted. It happened to Jesus. It can be costly to speak the truth when people prefer their profitable and comfortable lives. It can be painful to be rejected simply because we're followers of Jesus. Yes, that's part of it. But do it anyway. Do it anyway. Never let darkness win over light. That's the wrong choice. The right choice is to let the light shine, no matter the cost. Jesus is calling us to be the light of the world. That's the main theme here. He doesn't promise us a painless journey, but he gives us light and he promises glory, the fullness of light and life, glory for those who are his faithful disciples.